Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and I want to invite you to subscribe for free to our Brian Lehrer Show daily podcast. Every day, we'll pick one segment from the program to podcast, which you can download to your computer and MP3 player automatically and for free to listen to at your convenience. To sign up for our free daily podcast, just go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. So where have we been today? Well, through crunch time in Lieberman and Lamont's Connecticut primary, with primary day on Tuesday, through a new one-woman show set in a Bronx high school, and right there through the 9/11 NORAD tapes and their implications. And we will conclude today by debriefing the heat. It did turn deadly for a few people yesterday, including the couple who died in their unair-conditioned Newark apartment. Windows closed for fear of crime, they said. Cory Booker, take note. It produced more heat for Con Ed, though not too many power outages despite the record demand. On a lighter note, it produced more than 200 photographs to our Flickr page called 100 Degrees of Perspiration. The perspiration caused inspiration for a whole bunch of you digital photogs. Thanks a lot for taking the effort. Everyone else, you can see our 100 Degrees of Perspiration photo gallery on our website, including the shot captioned Candle Melting Without Fire, one of the last ones up that I kind of like today. And maybe that's this year's version of frying an egg on the sidewalk, Candle Melting Without Fire. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to see 100 Degrees of Perspiration. And we're going to put out a call right now for anybody who did post to that photo gallery to call up and talk about your experiences going out and taking photographs in the 100-degree heat. So if you posted to our 100 Degrees of Perspiration Flickr page, call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And anyone else, call in as well with your three-day heat wave stories, serious ones, scary ones, touching ones, funny ones, whatever, at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Things you did, things you observed, things you overheard, anything at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. And joining us now to help us debrief the 3 days of triple-digit temperatures, Sewell Chan, Metro reporter for the New York Times, and Lisa Colangelo, reporter for the Daily News. Sewell, Lisa, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Thanks, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
So, Lisa, what have we learned from this heat wave?
Well, we've learned that New Yorkers can certainly handle the heat and survive under very tough circumstances. But I think we've also learned that we have to really question everything that Con Ed puts out, and then maybe be ready to, you know, push the mayor's office and the city administration when they're not moving fast enough on, you know, a blackout.
Sewell, it was pretty interesting that the hearings in city council with Con Ed CEO Kevin Burke on the hot seat were scheduled for this week. And by coincidence, I think, it turned out to be the triple-digit heat wave, yes?
Well, yes, and there were some paradoxical or dramatic moments. Like yesterday, you know, while the heat wave is still going on, Kevin Burke was yet again on the hot seat, this time before the State Assembly. And then last night, the Public Service Commission began hearings on the Astoria and Western Queens blackout, even as people were still dealing with this current heat wave.
Is it your understanding now, Sewell, that Con Ed did anything differently this week than during the Queens blackout as a result of that experience?
My sense is that they were very, very cautious yesterday, especially on the east side. I mean, they took extraordinary measures in the Kips Bay and Madison Square networks around Gramercy Park, around Union Square. They moved their own headquarters to generator power. They went door-to-door telling people shut off power. Hospitals, Baruch College, major institutions, churches shut off power. There was tremendous concern about whether or not the two networks that supply much of the east side of Manhattan were going to go down.
Lisa, why the east side of Manhattan? You know, that's the part of the city that they usually say, oh, if Washington Heights goes down, it's because it's Hispanic people. If Western Queens goes down,
well,
it's because,
I have to tell you,
the
what
east
I thought
side
yesterday
will never go down.
Well, I have to tell you what I thought yesterday, because I live in Astoria, and I was at the hearing in Long Island City, the hearing that Sewell was speaking about, the assembly hearing, and we were starting to hear about how people were freaking out about the east side going down. And I have to tell you, I was like, out in Western Queens, we were down for days and days and days. You know, the East Side's down for like a couple of hours on and off, and people are hysterical. So, you know, I think it shows that on a very hot day, the system all over the city.
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Sewell, any more on how the East Side of Manhattan came so perilously close to shutting down?
My sense is that, and Con Ed workers were telling people this on the East Side yesterday, is that the infrastructure there is quite old. But that surprised me, because when you actually look at the statistics, the infrastructure everywhere is kind of old. And so I think it raises a lot of questions about what kinds of upgrades Con Ed needs to make, how much of the cost of that infrastructure investment will be passed on to ratepayers and passed on to consumers, and whether or not there's adequate oversight of this utility. I think that's a major concern right now.
Somebody just emailed me an AP article, Dateline Bedford, New Hampshire, so it was even hot up there, with a photo of someone baking cookies on the hood of her car.
Wow.
And it says, with temperature soaring Wednesday, Sandy Fontaine placed two trays of cookie dough on the dashboard, shut the doors. Oh, I see. It's from the inside of the car. Shut the doors and retreated inside to her air-conditioned office. And they actually baked the cookies, creating an oven in her car on the dashboard.
Well, Sewell and I were going to do that on the Bluestone in front of City Hall yesterday.
Lisa and I were about to make some eggs Benedict.
Mary in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Brian.
So? You survived the heat?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we live right on the parade grounds. And the fire department came and turned on the hydrant. And the kids and I, and I'm a senior citizen, we all went out and got soaking wet.
All right. Right there in the Prospect Park parade grounds.
Prospect Park parade grounds. And I took a bunch of pictures, but I don't know if you can still post them.
You can. Yeah. You can still post them. Sure.
Because we had a rug on the street, and we had kids with water, and we just generally had a great time.
Fun. And you took pictures.
Oh, I took lots of pictures.
Good, Mary. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Brian.
Yeah, you can post them to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and anyone else who wants to see the 200 plus. Other photos that people have posted of New York and vicinity in triple-digit heat over the last 3 days, you can just go there and take a look. Brian Lehrer Show. Click on Brian Lehrer Show after you go to WNYC.org. And we're debriefing the heat wave with Lisa Colangelo from the News and Sewell Chan from the Times. Did either of you report on that couple in Newark who died in their unair-conditioned apartment with the windows closed?
I did some work on that. They were a 66 and 65-year-old couple, Brian, and apparently there were some issues of mental illness involved. They apparently really wanted to keep their windows shut all the time for fear of intrusion, which, as you know, in Newark and in many parts of our city is not really an irrational fear necessarily.
Right. However, now we don't know. I know this. I guess at least one of them, or maybe both of them, had a history of mental illness.
It seems like at least one, and I believe both actually. Which may have been a factor, but they apparently had just two fans on and no air conditioner.
But it also shows a contrast, perhaps, between the direction that things have been heading in New York City and the direction that things have been heading in Newark. I know Mayor Booker, just recently elected, has made fighting street crime one of his top priorities, and all Mayor Bloomberg had to do, though apparently he's done very well at this, when he was elected after the Giuliani administration, was to try to continue the reduction in crime.
Brian, I think that's a really good point. I mean, if you're going to have 400 cooling centers and you want people to go to them, they have to be willing to walk out on their streets and feel a sense of safety and security being out in public. When you look at heat waves in the past that have killed hundreds and hundreds of people, there was one in Philadelphia in 1993 and one in Chicago in 1995. Sociologists and other experts have really found that the people who died were people who were socially isolated, mm-hmm. oftentimes in high-crime neighborhoods, where they were just really afraid to go out, and they just were at the margins of society, people who were not connected to libraries and senior centers and recreation centers and other places they could have gone to.
That's right. We did. We had one of those sociologists on earlier this month talking about just that, the extra, the heightened risk of heat waves to people who are socially isolated. Lisa?
I think one of the things that Mayor Bloomberg and city officials have asked everybody to do in New York is look in on your neighbors, look in on people in your building, because they're most concerned about people who are not known to them, not known to the the social services network, the senior center network,
mm-hmm.
because those people they know to check on, you know, the people who get Meals on Wheels, you know, the people who are part of that. They're concerned about people who are not part of any network, who are isolated, and those are the ones most at risk, and that's why, you know, they've been asking everybody, and I believe even in my area in northwestern Queens, police were actually going door to door in some neighborhoods.
By the way, lest we get too New York-centric, someone just sent us an email that says, it snowed in Johannesburg yesterday, first time in 8 years.
Well, it could be because of that strange weather pattern from global warming.
Global warming causes snow? Well, it's another show. And listeners, tell us your three-day heat wave stories, serious ones, scary ones, funny ones, touching ones, whatever, at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Things you did, things you observed, things you overheard, anything at 212-433-WNYC or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. And by the way, not that it's going to be so cold today. We keep saying the heat wave is over. The high is predicted to be 92, so don't give up all those precautions just yet. Richard in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Richard.
Hi. All last summer I had this air conditioner that I kept in my in the corner of my kitchen saying, I don't need it. You only need the air conditioner three days out of the year, tops. And I tried to get away with it this summer, too. But 3 o'clock in the morning, it was 90 degrees in my apartment. Huh. Here I am, 60-year-old man, wrestling an air conditioner to the window.
And did you get it in by yourself and turn it on, and it worked? And
it was wonderful.
It was all worth it?
It was wonderful.
Good, Richard. Thank you for your story. Laura in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Laura.
Hello. My issue is that while we've been hearing that we have to turn our air conditioners up to 78 and the city workers have to cut back on various budgets, I walk down the street and there are all these air conditioned stores with their doors wide open to the street. On one block of 6th Avenue, I walked by 3 merchants that had their store doors wide open and their air conditioning pouring out. And it seems like there should be some way to control that. If we had had a blackout and people had gotten really sick or died, to me, those people would be at least partly responsible for that.
I think Mayor Bloomberg said virtually the same thing yesterday. He said that stores and merchants really, really should shut their doors, that we don't live in a time, he described it as, we don't have the luxury of you know, wasting power like that. And you know, personally, it's a pet peeve, if I can be honest, because it is somewhat wasteful. I think from a retailing perspective, they sometimes see it as advantageous because you walk by this very cool store, you feel this, you know, rush of comfortable, cool air. Maybe it will entice you to enter the store, but it seems like not the most responsible gesture.
Alex in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alex.
Hi there. I was speaking yesterday with somebody who said they had a friend who worked for Con Ed who had been telling her that Con Ed had been deliberately underpowering a lot of the city this week in an effort to keep the grid up, and that it had caused various kinds of mechanical and computer problems. And I was wondering if you'd heard anything about that.
Well, go ahead, Lisa.
Well, I mean, Sue will probably can speak to this a little more than I can, but I know that what they were doing out in Queens and in other parts, I mean, we definitely had lower voltage, and that was their way of keeping things from completely shutting down. So you had some periods of low voltage, but
I think Lisa's quite right. They reduced voltage by 5 or 8% in many parts of the city for various periods, and it didn't affect, you know, your average iron or toaster, but it did affect like heavy machinery. The low voltage was blamed for a lot of the elevator problems that were seen in public housing developments across the city.
Now, what's this I hear about Con Ed giving rebates of $3 for people affected in Queens?
Well, there's two different things here. Con Ed will reimburse customers, both residential and commercial, who have lost perishable goods. That's up to, you know, $350 for residents and $7,000 for commercial customers. But people have said that's not enough. They've been pushing Con Ed to do more for weeks, the elected officials, everybody, because we've all been to the meat markets and the fruit stands and the fish stores, lost, you know, tens and thousands of dollars, you know. So yesterday we're at this hearing and we're trying to figure out what's going on, and it seems that Con Ed made, you know, another request of the Public Service Commission to reimburse for some, I guess, some kind of billing fees that are on your monthly bill. But it turns out it's only going to be about $3 for most people. So right. I think some people found that very insulting.
This is, you know, they should have at least run this by their public relations office. All right. Let's see. Roz in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roz.
Hi, Brian. I've been living in New York for over 15 years. I don't think I've ever experienced this amount of heat. And, you know, my neighbors, everyone that I know, say the same thing. I mean, most of us are focusing on Con Ed. Why don't we talk about global warming? I mean, I know there's no direct link, but I just find it odd that no one even mentions global warming.
Right. Well, we did. We talked about earlier this week how, you know, there's been a gradual warming trend in the summers as well as the annual yearly average temperature in general. It's been going on for 25 years now, and here is what might be another manifestation of it. Now, obviously, there have been 100-degree days in the city in the past. There was a larger string of 100-degree days in the 1950s, but there is a context here that, you know, that we talked about, but also people just have to get through the moment when we're in the extreme conditions, and so I think that's what people have been focusing on mostly.
We certainly asked Mayor Bloomberg about climate change very quickly, Brian, and he pointed out just what you're saying, that although there isn't a direct correlation, the context is there, and a lot of climate scientists do say that heat waves will become more frequent and more intense. That doesn't mean that this heat wave is specifically, quote, caused by global warming, but it could be part of that general pattern.
All right. Judith in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Brian.
Judith.
I'm responding to the people who are complaining about the stores with their air conditioning wide open. And I was walking on Broadway yesterday, and Armani had their doors wide open. So I marched in, and I said, who's the manager? And this is a bad plan. And they said, it's a corporate decision. They tell us we have to do it. Will you please call corporate? So they gave me the number, and I called Armani, and I talked to three or four people and finally got to someone, and he said, yes, we understand. We're going to change the policy.
Mm, all right.
So you can affect these things.
One lone woman out there can. Judith, thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
But look what you did. You got less air conditioning in the summer. Oh, never mind. Deborah in Greenwich, you're on WNYC. You'll get our last 20 seconds.
Okay, thank you. I have a funny story to share. I'm house-sitting. I live in Greenwich, and I'm house-sitting for friends who are in Europe. And we had intermittent power outages, and two German Shepherd dogs that I'm taking care of were getting overheated. So I took them outside, and I was hosing them down. And they were so cute because they were trying to bite the water, and it was
just so much
fun.
Okay, Deborah, thank you very much. Sewell Chan from the New York Times, Lisa Colangelo from the Daily News, thank you very much for coming on with us today.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
And one more time, you can see those 200-plus photos of the heat wave that our listeners took and posted to our Flickr page. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. You can also comment on the photos right there. Wonder if any good discussions will get started this weekend. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday.